Citizen journalists and just citizens rely a lot on social media to reach their audiences. But in Cuba, this is what it's like to use the internet these days.
You'll be walking through Havana, which is kind of this glorious ruin, right? It's this sort of, you know, beautiful either 50s modernism or 19th century Spanish colonialism, and it's all falling apart. And you'll go to a park or maybe a square in front of a tourist hotel, and you'll see this clutch of people just all hanging around, sitting on the ground. Often they'll have laptops out, like literally on the sidewalk.
That's Antonio Garcia Martinez. He reported on how Cubans get online for Wired magazine. Internet services on the island are controlled by the government. So to get online, most Cubans have to use state-approved Wi-Fi hotspots in parks and other public spaces.
Everyone is sitting there getting online. And so there'll be somebody, you know, with a really terrible video connection to a family member in Miami, right? Or someone having a phone conversation with someone in the provinces. And, you know, they're just having what you would think of as your living room or an internet cafe right there in a public park in 85 degree tropical heat in the middle of Old Havana.
That's the picture if you manage to get online. For many Cubans, it's too expensive or too slow. So Cubans have created workarounds to browse the web. There's SNET, which we'll get to in a minute, and El Paquete Semanal, literally the weekly package. Antonio Garcia Martinez explains.
This is where the internet scene gets a little bit brilliant. You have what are called paqueteros. They're literally almost like network media companies that literally package what we consider to be the internet, a week's worth of internet. So all the funny cat videos, all the Formula One races, baseball games, Game of Thrones, Netflix shows, all of that basically gets ripped and pirated and put on a single hard drive. And it's about 1.5 terabytes, which is quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
And so every paquetero, and there's three or four big ones, is kind of known for a certain lineup of shows. For example, the one that I spoke to, who I interviewed in my piece, you know, he tended to sort of skew to more educational. For example, he had Khan Academy, which is a well-known, online educational type YouTube channel. He had several videos of that. Mm. And so to access the internet, what you do is you go to a paquetero and, you know, he spends several hours in this big, massive machine that looks like a big gamer machine and copies a week's worth of internet on your device for something roughly equivalent to a dollar.
So tell us about SNET, Street Network. What is that and who's behind it?
Right. So Paquete was sort of like the first wave in some sense of, you know, Cubans dealing with the internet. SNET is another version of it. And it might sound a little wonky, but to use a technical term, it's what's called an ad hoc mesh network. And what that means is, some of your listeners, for example, might have a really powerful Wi-Fi antenna, for example, that they use to boost the signal in their home, right? So in Cuba, what they've done is they've taken these consumer products that are, you know, by the standards of a professional network engineer, relatively low end, and they've turned them into an entire internet backbone. There's literally about, at last count, something like 23,000 access points scattered throughout Havana and even past Havana that's been cobbled together into this ad hoc wireless network. And it's actually one of the biggest in the world. The key thing to understand, though, and it's really hard to understand if you come from the world that we do, is that this massive internet is really just a huge intranet. It doesn't actually talk to the outside world. If you enter google.com in the address bar to a browser, it doesn't go anywhere. However, if you enter sigame.com, follow me, which is kind of their Instagram clone, you go to a version of Instagram and that works perfectly well, that has, you know, tens of thousands of users with thousands of comments, and it's the exact same phenomenon you'd have in the United States, but it's completely within the island. And, you know, and what I really found most breathtaking is that they have local versions of everything, a version of Facebook, a version of Instagram, a version of Reddit.
Wow.
And it's just incredible that they've managed to cobble it together, basically violating actually Cuban law in many ways. And also it's like it's a bunch of kids basically who are doing it.
Is the Cuban government aware of these underground efforts and what has it said about them?
Right. Yes. No, the government absolutely knows. There's no way you could have something of this scale and have the government not know about it. So yes, initially it's clear that some of them got into trouble with the government for starting these networks. But as time has gone on, they've worked out this accord that so long as SNET censors itself, and I want to be clear, both the Paquete and both SNET absolutely censor themselves and don't allow anything like political or religious content at all, whatsoever, whatsoever. So long as the admins sort of zealously filter out any political content, which they do, then the government kind of puts up with it.
Antonio, the world is often turned to this hopeful narrative that the internet has democratized information for the whole planet. With all their workarounds, how much have Cubans embraced that narrative of the internet and democracy? And how much do they see the internet as just a thing the West has that they've been deprived of? And if only they could have their cat videos and, you know, uninterrupted streams of Despacito videos.
Right. No, you know, it's funny. I think that's a fundamentally naive view. Mind you, I used to share that view. In fact, you know, I was a techie and entrepreneur myself. And when I left Facebook, I was thinking, wow, wouldn't it be amazing to work in something like trying to get internet to Cuba, because that would change the political system there in some fundamental way. But from what I've seen there, and from what the Cubans themselves say, actually, they don't think that more unfettered access to internet necessarily causes this instant burst and flowering of democracy and human rights, as we'd like to think. I mean, the hard reality is the guys with the guns still determine who's in power and who does what. And the internet is not this savior, sadly.
Antonio Garcia Martinez reported on Cuba's DIY internet efforts for Wired. Antonio, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.